Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
And we're live after some riveting adventures with tech support yet again that I can really do without now. It's really getting old. We've got something important to do, introducing you to a new member of the News for the Soul Radio family. And thank us, we pulled it together. And Ray Falconberry is on the line. Hopefully we've got the new show. It's not in this time slot. It's on Fridays at 4 p.m. Pacific time, Call of the Soul, which we all need about now. And we're hearing it. So we're going to start with our famous first question, Unpeel the Onion. From there, newsforthesoul.com is where you go to tune in live or the other billion places we are. But let's bring Ray on and get the fun started. Ray, are you on the board, for the love of God?
I am, Nicole. Thanks so much for being patient and helping us get going finally. I know we've had some issues, but it's okay. We'll get there if we get there.
We do. I know. It's hard not to get caught up sometimes when it starts. Like, we've had a lot of weird stuff happening, weird energy things, particularly since the build-up to the eclipse and thereafter. It's been weird. Anyway,
yeah,
we're here now.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yes.
Yay! Call of the Soul. Okay, so Ray, I'm going to start with the famous first question. That's the place that kind of connects us all as a community and grassroots thing we are over the last quarter of a century, and that's that, you know, that authentic search for what's really real and what's really possible, like just cutting through all the, you know, the labels and stuff and getting down there and into there. So the reason the way I ask this is, you know, we've all had direct experiences. I had mine. My first memory was in the womb. So, you know, kind of some things that are outside the 3D normal conversation and the stuff that we're told of way, you know, how things work on planet Earth and human beings and all of that. And I'm curious what your earliest experience and also your more profound ones might be with feeling that connection with something beyond the 3D norm.
Wow, that is such a powerful, interesting question, Nicole, because I think so many people have such different experiences, especially when we're trying to separate, you know, between what is real and what is faith and what is spirit and what is energy and how do we navigate, you know, in that space. It's really not a simple thing. And to answer your question, it's interesting because there's such a contradiction. I guess I'd preface it with a contradiction because, you know, being in education and going to school forever and then teaching for the last 30 to 40 years, I found that education in a lot of ways isn't helping us at all. it's kind of rooted us in this weird thing of what do we see, what can we prove, how do we replicate it in the laboratory? And that's what people don't, I don't know if people really realize, they talk about science as it's definitive and it's the truth. Well, it's a theory. Whatever we're talking about, it's just a working idea that we're supporting at this time until somebody comes along and shows us or describes something or we experience something that's different. We just kind of hold that working model. And so for me, it's fascinating because it's such a difficult time in education because of that phenomenon of what do we have in front of us, what do we prove and stuff. So to answer your question, I think the things that come back to me are those earliest experiences are things that I felt, things that my grandmother, for me, it was my grandmother that I was a very spiritual soul. And what stuck out to me was an experience I had when I was probably, even though I went to church and I had my own prayer feelings and experiences, what really stuck out, and I think I mentioned this in one of the questions I responded to, kind of an essay format, was having my grandmother pull me aside at a family function. And she's such a jovial, sweet soul, and she pulled me aside, and she kind of laid this line on me about a responsibility that I had to do whatever I'm supposed to do that's going to help. And at that time, at 18, you know, Nicole, I was 18 and in some ways going on about 12. So I don't know if I had a lot of, you know, emotional maturity. I think I had a compassionate soul and I was a good student, but I hadn't really discovered a whole lot. But my grandmother had this experience for me that when she told me this idea of responsibility and doing something, something triggered, something weird happened within me. And I literally felt like some curtain had opened up. And basically it was this feeling of, okay, well, I guess I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And there was an interesting sense of, I'll just say, I don't want to say responsibility, but a sense of duty to kind of follow through. And that term that maybe some of your readers are familiar with is that funny term called Vanguard, and I didn't even know what it was. And I didn't have a sense of what that was, but when I looked it up, it was this kind of spiritual or theosophical or term kind of that outlined bringing in a new way. And so those that would bring in this new way of whatever that was, and I thought, no, okay. But at that moment, when that came on me, what was really strange was some part of the deeper part of me knew this was true. And it was like, okay, I'll accept this. I'll just do what I do until the path becomes ever more clear. And at 18, you know, I'm not trained. I'm not, you know, I don't have my college degree. I don't have nothing. But it was this sense of, all right, something's guiding me. And I feel that in my deepest soul. And it was something that was a pivotal shift. And my conscience just kind of shifted and said, well, whatever I'm going to do, it's got to be to support that vision of bringing in this new way. And at that point, I didn't know what that was. Which is kind of weird. Well, what is this new way of what? And what was curious, and I'll kind of pause and maybe we can move it in a more direct direction, was I always wanted to bridge that gap, and that's that gap of that problem I mentioned a minute ago, in how do we take the sense of spiritual, how do we take this divine creation, this whole realm of the beyond three-dimensional, but how do we bridge that gap with living in this, you know, three-dimensional world? How do we bridge it in a way that doesn't come across like I'm a zealot or I'm a Bible thumper or I'm some weirdo talking about energies from, you know, quantum realities that, you know, where people are going to go, dude, you're out there. You're just too out there. And so for me, the path has been, okay, how do we help people move from a three-dimensional world into what are these universal maybe principles that we don't talk about in school anymore? And how do we bring that out? And how do we connect to this divine self, this connection to God, this connection to what it is that we might be doing here? And that has been the big question that to this day, you know, decades later, I'm still I believe that's the mission. I truly do, but that's the mission, is to help people start to see a consciousness that is beyond living in this, I use a slang term, it's probably not very polite, meat sack. You know, how do we get beyond living in this carbon-based meat sack and being caught up into the dramas and traumas of careers and relationships and stresses and finances and all that stuff, and how do we see things from a wider, healthier, much more what I would call potentially exciting mindset and being space. If that makes sense.
No, it does make total sense. Yeah, just raising, I mean, I would term that as in raising the energy so you're not living in, you know, a low vibe.
Absolutely. Driven, absolutely.
Right? Yeah. Oh. And it's interesting as I'm listening to you because, you know, you had the spiritual background. It sounds like you had a good upbringing, which I did not. And, you know, so a lot of my response to everything was fear. I always had to react with like running around with my hair on fire until I got, you know, that connection. It was very specific. I don't know if you read my about my kooky, you know, about page on the profile on News for the Soul. But I mean, there's literally something like God started talking to me in my living room one day out of like, it made no sense, right? I had no background of any of this stuff. And I don't even have a specific definition or a term. I just use the word God because someone will understand kind of what I mean, right? It's like something that was clearly stepped in to immediately guide me in a very big way, went, hello, like very, you know, definitively, and told me to build a positive news newspaper. I didn't know how to make a newspaper. I had like 3 incurable diseases, a 1-year-old and an 8-year-old, and I was walking on a cane. And, you know, I had $450 disability money a month in the projects. Kind of, I mean, it was nuts, right? But I did it because I wasn't going to piss off the netherworld. So I found a way.
And I love that, Nicole, because that's taking that, whatever people want to frame it as, that intuition or that guidance or that spirit or that subtle communication, and listening and being willing to say, you know what, this I don't know how to do that, but you know what, I'm going to trust in this and I'm going to put it out there. And to me, that is a huge part of getting still, getting quiet within and listening to that inner voice, that energy, that spirit, however people want to frame it. And, you know, as people may, if they read about it, I know my whole background has been trying to figure this stuff out. And I know the education in the world of, you know, my background in psychology and it was clinical psychology, and I've worked in all those different fields of residential treatment and drug addiction and dual diagnosis and so many of these areas, and trying to figure out that purpose, that how do we navigate this, and then trying to find a way spiritually to connect in that way. And I started searching. I ended up going to a seminary in New York for 2 years that looked at all the world religions, and it was so fascinating. It really was a wonderful way to explore how did people worship, how did people connect to God and spirit and their divine self, and I love that. And so to me, it really becomes, okay, can we marry that? Can we merge that in a way that says, yeah, I still got to live here. I got to pay my bills. I got to deal with things. But I also want to listen to, there is an inherent wisdom, a divine self, a connection to God, to Jesus, whatever that spiritual affiliation that people may have. And I know for me, I've come back and I feel like I've gone around the really long way to find where my place is in this game. And even though there may be tons and tons of choices where people can go, and I honor everybody's choice, I know for me, and this is such fascinating to me, because I tend to overthink like a lot of people. I tend to think and overthink, and that can cause its own problems. And what's been interesting for me is I've come back to what is the most simple way I can evaluate this without having to get so caught up in the doctrine or the dogma or the text or all the books and stuff. And it really just comes back to, you know, there was a question in the New Testament in which the authorities, the religious authorities of the time, were talking to Jesus and said, you know, there's these 10 commandments that, you know, Moses and did his thing with the tablets, and, you know, what are the most important ones? And he said, love God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor. And it sounds so simple, but I just realized that if I just started to truly give credit to God and to love this divine creator that has done this incredible world and all that goes in it, and if I can feel that and be that appreciative, and then I can look at anybody and just love them in a way that says, how do I help? How do I support you? How do I help you get to the next state? Whether it's coaching or whether it's leadership or whether it's business consulting, whatever that is, whether it's a, you know, I still teach in colleges, and that whole mindset, I think, is what we all need, in the sense of meet people, Nicole, where they are. You know, if somebody needs something simple, maybe that's just a smile. Maybe it's a conversation. Maybe it's a an article. Maybe it's they need to come somewhere or do something. But my whole thing is to come back to those two simple things. Be appreciative of the divine creator, of God, and my relationship with God. And then how do I love people? How do I care about them without, and here's that thing, without coming across like some zealot or freak or Bible thumper that is just out there screaming at people of fire and brimstone. How do you do it with language in a way that is engaging and fun and beneficial to that soul? If that makes
sense.
It's
funny that we have to be careful with that message, isn't it? It's, well, it says a lot right there. You have to be loving carefully.
and what's hard is that is in college especially. It's gotten so, and not just college, but even before that, the kids, and this is something that I'll probably talk about in future shows, the dire, and I really do mean the dire strait of education, not just from our K-12 in college, but how do we learn even going into our adult world? How are people trained? How are businesses training people? How are we educating? So to me, that whole system is so broke. It's just dysfunctional. It's just not done in the best way. So there's lots of things to work on.
Yeah, and it's also part of the programming thing of just kind of cutting your connections off so much. And like you said, there's none of that kind of side of viewpoint in any education system, really. It's all poo-pooed on, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And I don't know how it's going to change from the fastest perspective. I just, and that's something that I'm finding frustration for me. Mm-hmm. And how do we navigate that to people in education? And how do we trust that we will find that answer? And I know, I always come back to something I think so many people had said, there's so many people attributed the kind of quote, I think I heard it from Gandhi, who said something like, how do we remove a gymnasium full of ping pong balls? The whole idea was one ping pong ball at a time.
Thing I was shown early into this was that, all we had to do was do us, like listen to what we were being guided to do, and that we weren't the only ones waking up and being guided, right? And that in the most unlikeliest places at the right times, the same thing was going to happen where we needed it to happen. So they showed me that really early in, before I didn't know about anything as far as spirituality, consciousness. Even I hadn't even done like a motivational seminar. I had none of this, right? So I was hearing this before I knew what it was. So that when it comes to me in a form where it's not something I would have thought of, it feels very external and very clear. And they have never been wrong once in 7 years, whatever it is. Yeah.
Wow,
so it's very powerful.
Do you believe in that kind of mindset of, when the student is ready, the teacher comes forward?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I love that. And I love the fact that, if we think about that, we can have people and experiences and things put in front of us, but if we're not willing to be open, if we're not willing to consider the thought or the idea or this alternative or this change or this new mindset, we stay stuck. And so, that whole idea of how many times have maybe we've been given stimulus or lessons, however you want to call it, obstacles over and over again. It's almost like the universe saying, look, I'm going to keep throwing this at you till you get this through your thick head that, you need to learn this. I'm going to keep giving you this, this challenge in this way. And I always just hope that people become this lifelong learner, that just are curious. And I have a friend of mine who I work out in the morning. He's 72, 70, he just turned 73. And a few years ago, something ignited in his soul and he just became curious about everything. And he started reading and he started experiencing. He wanted to learn breathing. He became a Tai Chi teacher and is just this wonderful example of, I can choose, I can grow, I can learn, I can evolve. And I can experience a whole new consciousness if I choose it. And I absolutely love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was probably on some, like something had to prompt that sudden interest, right? I mean, because people are shut down.
Yeah.
People are closed down. And a lot of this previous stuff we talked about has closed them down because they were told, no, that's not real and that's not me. And just do this and survive and stay in your place and, you know, go to your work. And
oh,
go
my
and
gosh.
Go, right? Ugh.
Yes. So, and I mean, you look at social media and the beat down that people have. I talk to my students, and one of the challenging things that you know comes up is they get this negative vibe from not only their social media, but one of the things, and it's so interesting to share this with people, and it's just my opinion on this particular thing, but one of the most powerful things that I think people have taken on is, for whatever reason, maybe it's social media, maybe it's experiences where they were shut down, maybe it's education, maybe it's relationships, you know, all play a part in this, but this thought that people think too little of themselves. They don't feel that they have the capability. They don't feel that in some ways that they're enough. I'm not enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not rich enough. I'm not, you know, charismatic enough. I might, you know, whatever it is, they get this feeling that they're not enough. And I just would hope that people are willing to engage in a process that allows them to learn and grow and at some point realize that you can evolve, you can grow, and that you are enough. In every which way. It doesn't mean we don't improve. It doesn't mean we don't strive to, you know, learn something more or to become more compassionate or develop some things that we really want to develop. It doesn't mean that, but we have that capability. Psychology calls it self-efficacy. It's just that belief that underlies that if we put in enough time, we can become proficient at anything. And I do believe that. And I wish our young people and people in general would just truly know that they are enough inherently, and they can just enhance that through mindsets and ideas and exercises and breathing and appreciation and all kinds of fun things that they can experience to elevate their day-to-day consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're programmed that way earlier in life. We at least have been, you know, in the past, right? Right from the get-go, who do you think you are, right? It's the people have said to you from early on. But yeah, there's got to be something that awakens more. I'm curious, before I ask about other things, how do you define, because you've mentioned God a lot, you've looked at a lot of other religions and studies, and I mean, there's a lot of similarities in the stories. They're all, this is the way, this is the one way, you know, a lot of them come across that way. What is your opinion, and how do you define all of that?
Well, that's a challenge. And so it is a challenge. And if you look at it historically, and even today, it still is a place of division. And one of the things that, for me, what I see this, Nicole, I see this everywhere. I see it in business. I see it in education. I see it in how certain people view religion. And it's this idea of divisiveness. And so I like to think, for me personally, going around the long way, for me personally, is that I like to think we are all, there's a one consciousness of, we have this connection. So I believe we come from a divine creator that provides a spark for us. What we do with that spark is our choice. And so I believe there is an element, a huge element of free will. I don't presume to say I know what is anybody else's definitive choices in life and what they should do. So I know for me, when I've done counseling or I've done coaching, I've always talked about people have to explore and decide for themselves what is their meaning and purpose? Where do they fall on the spectrum of where God starts, science starts? Is there one? Are we somewhere in a religious mindset? Are we a spiritualist? Are we an atheist? You know, my son, I love him. He's a self-proclaimed agnostic. He says, "Dad, I just don't know. There's no way for us to know." I'm not saying there's not a God. I'm not saying there is. There's just no way to know. And that's where he's at. Would I want him to be there? No, but I respect that he has that choice. So for me, I'm open, Nicole, to everybody's path and honor that free will choice to explore it and express it and to make a choice however they want to do it. I've just come back kind of simply to a Christian perspective, and I'm just going to follow, the teachings of Jesus. And one of the interesting books I ever read, because I could never get through the Bible when I was younger, never could get through. I don't think I got through the first 10 pages ever, you know, until I was probably 30 years old. And somebody handed me back at the time they called it a red line Bible. And I looked through it, and I'm just flipping through the pages, and there's a red line through everything, virtually everything. And I'm thinking, well, what is this? It's marked all up with all these red lines through everything. And it was everything was marked through. The only thing that didn't have a red line through it was the actual words attributed to Jesus. And so what I did, it took me, it took me a weekend. I read through the whole thing and just read the words. I just read his words. I skipped through. There were pages and pages, pages of, he didn't say anything. And I'm not reading that. I'm, 25, 30 years old, and I'm just flipping page after page after page. And it's like, no, there's nothing here. Oh, look, here's a paragraph. Oh, that's interesting. And so it was fascinating.
I've never heard of that.
That was a huge shift, because when I just got rid of all the, I don't want to say extra words, but when I just focused on, but what he said, it blew me away. It was so relevant then, and it's actually, even coming into 2024 and teaching and counseling and coaching, it is still shockingly relevant, the principles and the ideas and the communication and the love and how do we treat each other. And so to me, it's like, really? You mean I have to go 6 decades to kind of figure out I'm coming back full circle here? Which is to me kind of I don't want to say comical, but there's a certain humor in taking such a long, long path. And again, it was incredible. I wouldn't change it for a second, because the interesting thing about going through seminary and studying world religions and doing this stuff was it gave me a sense of appreciation of how other people view the divine, how they worship, how they practice, and really learning to honor that people have not only the right, they have the celebrational right to choose this experience, and what they do with that is up to them. I think there is some incredible universal, and that was probably the one thing that I would say out of seminary was I was shocked at how similar these religious philosophies were at their core. There were so many similarities about love and compassion and kindness and service and helping other people. It actually shocked me. And I thought, okay, well, you know what? That's pretty universal. So to me, I don't control anybody else, but I'm going to just walk forward and see if I can't just help people where they are doing simple things. And maybe it's a simple word. Maybe it's an encouraging statement. Maybe it's telling people that, you know, there are people who will listen and help and support and help you discover whatever it is that you're looking to do. And, you know, as you know, the show and our nonprofit is called The Call of the Soul. It's that small little thing. And it really is designed to help people discover what is that calling deep in your soul that God or the divine creator, however you want to frame that consciousness, that entity, you know, what is that calling that what you're doing here? What are you supposed to do here? What is it that you're aiming for? And I believe that that is part of the process, whether it's helping people learn, whether it's helping people relate to each other, families, friends, and then how do we do business? That's a whole nother thing of that to me is so underdeveloped because you know, what is business for most people? It's bottom line. You know, are we making money? Are we making a profit? And it's not coming from a what I would call a really conscious model that's tied to compassion, that's tied to love, that's tied to service, that's tied to bettering the planet. And so that to me is another huge area that needs training. It's funny because there's two elephants in the room of business and education. I always find this fascinating. I don't know if many of your readers, either readers and or listeners, understand and realize that 99.9% of every college professor at any college, from Harvard to UCLA to their local community college, 99.9% of them do not have a teaching credential, nor have they ever been to a program that taught them how to teach. They're not hired based on any kind of knowledge. They're basically, if they have a requisite degree, a master's or PhD in a certain field, they answer a few questions, they do a 10-minute little presentation, and they're in. So there's nobody in education virtually that has a teaching credential that taught. And it's interesting because I'm one of those weird ones that I did get a teaching credential, but I will say this. It taught me about lesson planning. It talked to me about classroom management. It talked to me about assessment and grading. It didn't teach me how to connect, how to engage, how to empower, how to inspire students. It didn't. On the flip side of that, in business, I asked my son, he got a degree in psychology and he got a degree in business administration with an emphasis in management. And I asked him, I said, did you ever have a class that taught you how to build an organizational structure that empowers and inspires and uplifts the employees? And he laughed. He goes, Dad, not even close. They're talking about marketing and finance and taxes and you know, how do you build the nuts and bolts of a business? So here are these two, Nicole, huge areas that people, they're not trained to engage. They're not trained to empower or inspire, whether it's business or whether it's education. So we have these, I don't even know what you call it, hollow systems of which, here, let's ram history. Let's ram algebra down your throat. Oh, it doesn't matter that you want to be a dancer or you want to be a singer. You know, here, take this algebra too. Take this stuff that you're not interested in and let's ram it down your throat. I mean, think
and
about
they
it.
Never
how,
use.
Yeah, how much of that high school education and even education that you can remember, how much do you remember of that?
How much prepared you for real life?
Nada. Not
questionable.
And that to me is terrifying. You know, one of the big things that's happening with the exodus, so many people are not going to college now. COVID didn't help it. But what they're finding out is that even before COVID, American businesses were saying, you know what, we don't like the college graduates we're getting because they're not prepared. They're not ready to go to work. They don't know how to work. They don't understand what it takes. They're basically saying, we'd rather take a kid out of high school and we'll teach them what they need to do because college isn't preparing. And this isn't across all disciplines and such, but overall, they're becoming unhappy with the level of college graduates that are happening. And so more and more people are not going to college. And like I said, COVID didn't help it because people ended up, you know, gosh, I don't want to just go to an online university. I'm not getting anything. I'm just going to go to work. And so there's this big, interesting shift happens that colleges still haven't recovered from. They still haven't recovered from this COVID mess. It's still a problem. So it's interesting.
It is interesting, and I think we're not even beginning to see the true fallout from that whole period. this is where I'm guided to go. Okay. So, that was coming up, that COVID period and all the crap that, the planet started seeing occurring, the unseen amounts of division that are still, in place and up to a great degree among friends and families and, companies and people, organizations, like, holy crap. They're basically separated into a couple extreme camps so much harm has done, all the shutting down and the, global house arrest period of time. That was just unbelievable. And, and it's funny because, like I said in the beginning, I was shown that, and everyone's going to wake up at the right time. And I was not told about this phase. And so it's been really, really challenging to be, on track during this phase. Been tough. So I'm curious what your opinion is of what's going on.
On the COVID or the
fallout? No, the whole shift on the planet. Like I don't go into the COVID story in itself. It's representative of something much bigger, it seems to me.
Sure.
As far as, look at all the awakenings and all the things we see that it's happening, been happening for years, but now it's uncovered. So I guess what I'm saying is a lot of people have been, trying to purport this vision of it's practically the apocalypse that we're facing, right? Mm-hmm. Which in some terms, some people call it the unveiling as opposed to, the traditional versions of it. But I'm curious let's just dive right into the full muck.
Yeah.
What did you experience during this shutdown? What guidance did you see? What do you see happening with this?
Yep.
Where do you see us going and what's really going on from your perspective?
Oh boy, we could do shows about that. Oh my gosh.
That alone could be why you're here, Ray, honestly, because it's really, really the main story right now, really.
I totally agree, Nicole, and I do believe, I don't care what system people look at, whether they're coming from energy, they're coming from, astral projections or a different religion or channeling or whatever. I think, I've kind of outlined it, I'm coming from back to the fundamental perspective. I do think we're coming to an escalated time in our evolution. I think we're coming to a tipping point. I think things are speeding up in a way that is showing there is major changes coming, whether we like it or not. In fact, that's already showing itself. There is so much, and I'm going to use it not a nicest word, there's so much bullshit out there. There's so much misrepresentation. I think there's so much misguided people. I think there's new. I think business. I think it's escalating to a point that where there is a division, this sounds dark and bad, but I think there is a battle growing where the divisions are drawing their kind of boundaries in the sand.
Yeah.
It's like, you're either going to wake up and you're going to see the world is changing and you either we're going to get on board on it or you're going to resist it. And that resistance, I think, is built in the status quo, and I think there's been so much misrepresentation through business, through government, through politics, through
media.
Media. I think we have been fed so much crap for so long. I don't even want to. I don't think it would help people if they. I think, Nicole, we've been living in. I tell people, here's a perfect example of tying this up, or at least moving deeper into the question. Somebody will ask me, I hear this all the time, you watch movies? Sure. What's your favorite movie? And I'll ask my students this, and it doesn't matter whether it's a training or a corporate event or even college. And they'll tell me these movies, this or that, and they'll say, what's your. Rich, what's your favorite movie, Ray? I said, did you watch the Matrix documentaries? And they'll go, Matrix documentaries? And they'll go, documentaries on the Matrix? Is that some PBS thing? I said, no, Keanu Reeves and did this Neo thing and all those movies. He goes, that's Hollywood. And I'll kind of laugh and I'll smile, really? I said, I'm wondering if that might be a lot more true than you might think. And they'll just kind of look at me sideways. And so to me, Nicole, that is, to me, that is more true than false.
I've been calling them documentaries for a long time here. As a matter of fact, a funny story, Ray. A long time ago, I'm talking about maybe 2002, I elevated from print radio to long, weird stories, but through different mediums and was on major radio stations in Canada. I got this email. Do you know who Stuart Wilde was in Ireland, the author?
Yes.
Yeah. So I get this email from Ireland from Stuart Wilde, and he wanted to come over, all the way over to Vancouver and have a meeting with me. It was the weirdest. It was like, well, the first meeting was the weirdest, like, 16 hours of my life. At no point did we have lunch where we went to. He just started, he wanted to show me stuff, you know, and as much stuff, a lot of seeing what was really there, the shadow and all that stuff that I was all about love and life, you know, just the positive. So I had to get a lot stronger, but that first meeting lasted about 18 hours, 16 hours. I get home, my kids are looking at me like, what's wrong with you? I didn't leave my house for 2 weeks, but I integrated, you know, the information. With that whole thing of the, you know, when the teachers or the students ready, you know, the teacher shows up, he was one of the, he believed he was one of the real life Morpheuses, and that's why he was there. So I interviewed him on camera watching with this in a screening room in this fancy place with the documentary, the actual movie playing behind us while we were talking on camera. It was just, yeah, we've had a whole.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I love that. I love that. And thank God there are people, Nicole, that, have, you know, and I do believe that the divine creator, that God, he gives us all different gifts. And some people have this gift for prophecy, and other people can share and talk and articulate, and some people can heal, and some people have these things. And I truly believe that all of us have gifts. Nobody was left hanging with nothing. But some people have certain gifts that other people don't have. Well, you have a gift that I don't have, and maybe I have a gift that you don't have, but the collective, if we are to truly unite, if we are to come together, we will really, I believe we do realize that we have such power and such potential to elevate everything from families to how do we take care of each other, how do we take care of older people, how do we educate our kids, how do we do integrity-based business, how do we love each other in a way that allows us to help everybody where they're at. And that really is the big catchword in education. It's this funny word called equity. And I didn't even know what it meant when they talk about equity. In education, the buzzword meaning, how do we help people where they are? And that's what they're aiming in students. And I like that. I love the definition of that. It's a really good talking point. We just need to do it. You know, but if we can do that with people, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, how do I help you where you are? How do you help me where I am? And if we get into that mindset, and I know you're living this, it's about serving, it's about helping people to wake up and to come to know their true self. If we can get people doing that and supporting each other, we do elevate the consciousness of the planet. We do. You know, create this new world. And I believe that that's where this tipping point is going. And where is it going to end? Wow. To tell you the truth, from what I'm hearing and feeling in my heart, this sounds bad, but I think it's going to get a little worse before it gets better.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm hearing.
I just feel that. But I also feel that in order to heal, we need to rip off the Band-Aid, and we need to kind of get clear on who we are, what we're doing, and where is the truth in all of this stuff. So, you know, the whole world of media, the whole world of business and politics, and all of this stuff needs to become much more transparent, clear, and the Band-Aid is going to be painful. I really believe that the Band-Aid that's going to come off is going to shock the heck out of people to a level that will test their reality. I firmly believe that. That's why, you know, that Neo and the Matrix of, do you want to take the blue pill or do you want to take the red pill?
Yeah.
You know, so you want to stay in your little, you know, what I would call this three-dimensional matrix of what you think is going on, or do you really want to, are you going to be willing to believe when the Band-Aid comes off? And I do believe that's coming. I believe it's building to a point to where, if you think about like a balloon filling up, it's getting to the point to where it's going to pop. And I just feel that that's coming. And I think people can feel it and sense it. And some of the people with, you know, that heightened sense of awareness and intuitive connection to the divine, they know it. They know it crystal clear. They can feel it. They can describe it better than I can. But one of the things, you know, one of the things that I in my meditation and my prayer, and I don't know why I've had this for a very long time, it kind of comes back to, I remember it from Buddhist philosophy, but it strikes me now, even coming from a Christian base, is I don't want, if there's going to be the big change and the world's going to divide and there's going to be this whatever, I would like everybody to come to get to the finish line. Whatever that finish line to them is, I don't want, if there is going to be, you know, an apocalyptic thing and there's this just big whatever cleansing or rapture, however you want to call it, I would like everybody, if they want to get across the finish line. I really don't want to see people suffer. And whatever that even means, it's maybe a very naive view, but I that's just me. I want people to get to the finish line that they truly want to get to in their soul. Mm.
You know, that's why I've been seeing our shift, our purpose here, because at first it was figuring out what this waking up was and figuring out, you know, some of these things. Now it's more about supporting people through this right now.
Yes. Yeah, wherever, and again, wherever they are. And I think that's the important part, because sometimes we get so specialized in our language that we're only going to attract, you know, from that niche of people. And I just felt like my whole life has been, how do we help these people that are rooted in this three-dimensional world, maybe the whole world of what I can prove in a mathematical equation or in a laboratory? How do we get them connected to something that is beyond this three-dimensional? And again, it starts with a predisposition that, do you believe in a divine, you know, a consciousness, that there's a creator, a divine creator of this or not? If you don't, you know, then you're going to be happy living in this three-dimensional mess, or unhappy, you know, depending on what happens here. But for those people who are willing to look beyond the three-dimensional, that is where, you know, I think the voices need to come forward and meet people where they are, whether it's energy work or intuitive work or healing work or scripture or whatever it is, to help them get to that next spot on their own journey. And that's why I'm so glad there is voices and people like yourself offering so many different types of information, the answers and experiences to help people where they are get farther on their own personal journey. That's a perfect, beautiful mission.
Yeah, it feels very on point. You know, because even the people that have been doing this stuff for decades were very challenged when things went, you know, in a different direction and got very challenging from 2016 on. It's been really, you know, we didn't talk about this. We didn't expect it. We were like, oh, it's going to be all unicorns, and, you know, we're just going to get better and better and happier and more positive. And there's, you know, the other side, that side that Stuart Wild came over to show me that day, that's very real, you know, and we've got to, you know, learn to connect and not get caught up in the illusions around us, right? Negative stuff.
That's exactly it. I totally agree with that. But you know this as well as I do. Living in this, in the three-dimensional world, those illusions are powerful. They can get us caught up. I always talk to people about, I always think of it like a, the kind of a metaphor of, you know, the world is like a a tornado, and there's all these winds, and you know, if you get caught in it, you're going to get spun around and damaged, and you can get hurt. But what is, you know, what is the center of that hurricane is the eye. And so the goal is, how do we stay in the eye? How do we stay connected? How do we stay in our heart, mind, spirit? How do we stay in the eye? So when the world and its three-dimensional mess, hurricane, gets closer to you, do we have the awareness, do we have the consciousness to move so that we stay continually in the eye? Because we're living in this. We until we evolve out of this consciousness and onto the next, whatever that world is, and for some people it's another life or another dimension or however they want to view it. And people, I tend to look at it as maybe getting to heaven and such. But until we get to that place, we still have to live here in this broken, mixed up, goofy world. And so, you know, part of it is developing tools, hopefully, that keep us in that center, that we're not suffering and getting caught up. And I, even though I may know some of those tools, I don't get, I'm not always in the eye. Trust me, I get caught up into the issues of the world and politics and people are ugly and nasty, and it hurts. It's not easy. And so, you know, we have to try to apply what we've learned to how do I get to my center? How do I connect back to my own divine sense of self? And
it's that makes us stronger right there. That's the exercise. It's not all the rainbows and unicorns, because we wouldn't get stronger, allegedly.
That's it. Yeah, but that's not always so fun, though. It's not fun. But it is. You're right. It does make
us
stronger.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, you're right. We got to step into the fire. If not, we're, you know, and we talk about this a lot, too, Nicole, and you know this. If we don't have adversity, how do we truly appreciate when we don't? Meaning, if I truly want to understand peace, I've got to understand what is war. If I truly want to know what is love, well, what is not love? What is anger? What is hatred? You know, what is that? So if I don't feel it, sense it, experience it, you know, the other side, you know, is almost meaningless, because it's like, well, what isn't love? If all I've ever experienced is total fluffy, you know, unicorns and rainbows, That's reality. That's all there is. Well, no, that's not all there is. And so those experiences of anger or violence or hatred or abuse or rape or all these things that people can experience that's traumatic and brutal, not that that's ever good, but we don't build resilience. We don't build motivation and fire to be more in line and purpose on being compassionate, loving, and serving. And so to me, you're nailing it on the head. Is we've all had these experiences, and what we then choose to do with that, that's up to us. Are we going to let it beat us down and become these victims and say, oh, woe is me, I've been dealt this, you know, terrible card, so therefore I'm just going to be angry and hating on the world? Or do we use that as obstacles to grow and evolve and become stronger, more wise, and hopefully maybe share something that helps another person maybe not have to go through it that way? But, you know, that's the way that I think it seems to be the healthiest way to at least frame it, because to just feel like we're a victim and we're just going to get consistently beat down, why try? That feels very low vibration.
It really does, yeah. And that's the thing. It's, you know, it's about learning and experiencing, like you're saying, one of the reasons we're here. On that note, I just want to let people know, if you're listening to the live feed, there's a very good chance we're going to go a few minutes over time, which means you will not hear it, but it will go into record mode. So if you wait a few minutes after we hang up, you'll actually be able to hear the rest of the show. I can talk to you literally all day, Ray. But unfortunately,
yes,
it is going to cut us off at some point. So I want to ask you two things. Firstly, what do you perceive doing in particular, if anything in particular has shown up for you yet on future shows?
What I would like to do, you know, Nicole, you shared something with me in a previous conversation, is I truly want to share almost from a spontaneous perspective. And it really is this idea of I have some interesting people that I think would be fun to have conversations with. I really don't want the shows that I'm doing, I want it to be any kind of a lecture. I'd rather it be like you and I just talking, having coffee, tell me about your story, let me tell you a little bit about this, and we have this dialogue, and I'd like that to be, you know, what I'd like to create is these opportunities for people to share not only their stories and what their calling is, but what are the challenges, what's going on with that. So to me, it's really about meeting people, like we talked about, where they are, how do we help them, whether it's business, whether it's coaching, whether it's just sharing a story. Maybe we entertain them, maybe we get them to laugh, maybe there's tears, and those tears resonate with them. So to me, what I'd like to give is people, if we can, just how do we get an authentic, compassionate, transparent experience that is rooted in entertainment, education, fun, inspiration, and engagement. That's really what I'm hoping this is. And people get something from it, whether it's inspiration, whether it's entertainment, whether it's they learn a new tool or a new idea, or they just get exposed to something. That's really what I'm hoping that we get from this. And if we can do that and engage some people and they enjoy it, that would be amazing.
Beautiful. I'm there. Sounds perfect for us and our audience, and absolutely. Here's what we need to do. At the end of every show, we have our little tradition of shameless self-promotion coming from Service and Heart, which we already know you do. Just share what you have on the offer, whatever's going on, whatever people can have access to, and any special events or whatever you'd like to share.
Shameless self-promotion. That's such an honest statement. I love that. You know, Nicole, if people want to do this, they can try this. If you go to the website, which is our website, it sounds similar to the News for the Soul. It's thecallofthesoul.org is our website. You'll see a picture of me and stuff. And as a gift for people, if they would want to, if you were to go to any of the store, and if you scroll down, you'll see a bunch of books that are some are tied to business. One's called, many of them are called The Forgotten Secrets of Business. One's Forgotten Secrets of Family, The Forgotten Secrets of an Evolving Society, The Forgotten Secrets of Education. There's a book called The Answer. There's all these little, these books there. If you want any of those books, if any of the people as a gift, if you then just go to Work with Ray, there's a tab there, Work with Ray, and you'll see all kinds of different stuff. And at the bottom of any of those, you can just fill in your name and an email. I don't mass email anybody anything. In fact, I've never emailed anybody anything. It's just a way to give them things. Just say, you know, I listened to you on the News for the Soul. Would you send me the book on a Walk in the Park with God? Or would you send me the book, The Answer? You know, what? Twice in a Lifetime, any of the books you see there, if you were to just send me an information, just say which book you want, drop it in there. It may take me a little bit because I'm scheduled and stuff, but I'll send you a free gift, just of one of these books. And the last thing I'd say about the books, I'm not a lecture-based guy, even though my background is academia, I tell stories. So all of these are stories, but embedded in them are principles and ideas that I think are universal, but it's told under the guise of a fun adventure. And so if people want to come and grab any of those books, just let me know what you want, and I'd love to just bless you with that gift, and hopefully you enjoy it. And, you know, we'll just see if there's other things that we can do and experience together and help us all farther along. If that makes sense.
That makes sense. Send us an email with that information in it. We'll get it up on your profile as well to make it easier for people to, you know, who are driving right now, can't write down the website and all that stuff. And we'll get that out there.
I appreciate it, Nicole. Thank you so much for all of your help and support and patience and all of getting us going on this.
Well, you know, I mean, you're just such a perfect addition to the News for the Soul family. I'm just completely resonate with where you're at and where you're, what your purpose is. And it's amazing that we actually haven't bumped into each other before this, right? I mean, we've been here over 26 years, so, you know, it's funny. But it happens.
It's the right time now, though.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I'm very grateful to have been connected. In fact, I'm starting to think some of this weird the tech support issues that we've had, the other kind of side of the energy trying to stop us from talking. So, we won.
I kind of thought so myself. My wife and I were talking about that. But you know what? In the end, good guys win.
That's right. Love wins.
Good guys, good counsel. Yes, that's right. Right. Love wins. Thanks again, yeah. Nicole.
Thank you so much, Ray. And I'm so grateful to have you here. I'm looking forward to your first official show. I'll be there with you to help out, and we'll go from there. Ray, The Call of the Soul, find him on newsforthesoul.com. All right, we did go into overtime. They'll be able to get it on the website after. Thanks, Ray, and be well. We'll talk soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.